This is the BBC News with Fiona MacDonald. Donald Trump has apparently reversed his view about the Chinese-owned app TikTok. In a TV interview, he said the social media site was especially popular with young Americans and they would go crazy without it. Nomia Iqbal has more.
Donald Trump spearheaded the original threat to ban TikTok. President Biden and Congress then picked it up. A bipartisan bill targeting ByteDance will hit the House floor this week. It would give the company a few months to sell up or shut down. But now Mr. Trump appears to have flip-flopped, emphasising its popularity with young people. They are a key voting bloc in this year's election. President Biden's also changed a bit. His re-election campaign recently joined the app and started posting content after banning the use of it for federal employees.
A former Boeing employee known for raising concerns about its production standards has been found dead in the United States. John Barnett had been giving evidence in a whistleblower lawsuit against the company. Police said he was found dead in a hotel car park with an apparently self-inflicted gunshot wound. The US Secretary of State Antony Blinken has said different countries are coming together to tackle the crisis in Haiti. He was speaking at the end of an emergency meeting in Jamaica with leaders of the Caribbean bloc CARICOM. They discussed plans to expedite the deployment of international security personnel. Will Grant reports.
The international force is expected to be led by Kenya after earlier legal challenges appear to have been overcome. Meanwhile, the Caribbean community is expected to urge Prime Minister Andry's resignation as the first step towards a transitional administration. The White House, which initially backed Mr. Andry, is now likely to agree. However, even if the Prime Minister does step down, Haiti faces huge challenges. The UN World Food Programme warned that almost 1.5 million people in the Haitian capital are facing famine in the country's biggest humanitarian crisis since the 2010 earthquake.
A charity in the Ethiopian region of Tigray says thousands of women were raped during the war that ended in 2022. The charity, Huyet, collected testimonies from nearly 5,000 women. It says about 15% of them contracted HIV. Richard Hamilton has this report.
In one instance, a grandmother, daughter and granddaughter were all raped by the same soldiers from Eritrea who were allied to the government forces. The African Union has estimated that up to 600,000 died in the conflict in Tigray, a mountainous and arid province and the cradle of Ethiopian civilization. The province is still reeling from the war and some of the gravest atrocities are only just coming to light.
You're listening to the latest world news from the BBC. The UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres has said he's appalled that fighting is continuing in Gaza despite the start of the Islamic holy month of Ramadan. He warned that hunger and malnutrition were taking hold in the territory. Israel has launched a series of airstrikes in the Bekaa Valley of eastern Lebanon. The governor of Baalbek, a Hezbollah stronghold, said one attack hit the southern entrance to the city and three others targeted 20 kilometres to the west. The organisers of the Paris Olympics have said they're shocked by racist attacks against the French Malian singer Aya Nakamura after speculation she could perform a song by the singer Edith Piaf at the opening ceremony in July. An extremist group hung a racist banner on the Seine following the unconfirmed reports. Here's Danny Eberhard.
Few things ooze France quite like a chanson by Edith Piaf, the little sparrow as she was known. From a star of last century to one of today, Aya Nakamura's hit Dadja has nearly 1 billion YouTube views. No one's confirmed rumours that the Malian-born singer, who emigrated to France as a child, might sing Piaf at the opening ceremony. But she's had voluble backing, including from the game's organisers, since she was targeted with a banner saying, "There's no way, Aya, this is Paris, not the Bamako market." One cultural commentator said it was now imperative that she does.
The former Czech Prime Minister Andrej Babiš has defended an email in which, using foul language, he asked a man he thought was his advisor to get personal information about the Foreign Minister, Jan Lipavsky, and his family. But he sent the email to Jan Rovensky instead, a Green campaigner, who was appalled by the content and contacted a Czech news website. BBC News.